If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is indeed a joy to greet you today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the joy of Worth Baptist Church to produce this broadcast of the gospel every Lord's Day. We're glad that you're tuned our way today, and we trust that the broadcast will be a blessing to your heart. We would invite you to write us this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Remember, the only way that we have of knowing that you get this broadcast and that it is a blessing to you is for you to write us. We trust that you would do so this week. Again, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. We would give to you and to your family a special invitation to come and worship the Lord with us today at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We at Worth Baptist emphasize the Word of God. In fact, our only textbook is the Bible. In our Sunday school, we are now surveying the entire Bible. Today, we will survey the book of Acts, commonly called the fifth gospel. We would be happy for you to come and bring the whole family at 10 o'clock to study the book of Acts with us today in our Sunday school. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. We would be more than happy to have you to come today and be our guest in any or all the services of Worth Baptist Church. The month of October is harvest month with us here at Worth Baptist, and October 29th will be Roundup Sunday. On October 29th, Roundup Day, we are reaching for 500 in Sunday school. We would like for you to be one of those 500 on Sunday, October 29th. That's 2 weeks from today, Roundup Sunday, here at Worth Baptist. So thus far, the month of October has been the most outstanding October in our history. We are seeing souls saved every Lord's Day and added to the church. And our Sunday school is gaining and growing more in October than any other October in our 18-year history. So we're rejoicing in the good things of the Lord here at Worth Baptist Church, and we would like for you and your family to be a part of it today, especially in the days of harvest during the month of October. So plan now to come today to Sunday school at 10 o'clock, the Sunday morning worship hour at 11, and the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. Worth Baptist Church is located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We are easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. Plan now to be in the services of Worth Baptist Church today. If you're looking for a church that is friendly, that is spiritual, that preaches the Bible, that believes in the old-fashioned way, you'll find it here at Worth Baptist Church. So be our guest today in the services here at Worth Baptist Church. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Are You Good Enough for Heaven? I shall read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. But first, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for Worth Baptist Hour. We thank Thee for this station that voices the Gospel on this Thy day. It is our prayer that as this message goes out over the air, that many would hear it, and those who are discouraged and despondent would be renewed in their faith, and those, Heavenly Father, who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come to trust Him even in this hour. This is our prayer and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, I read beginning at verse 17. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Are you good enough for heaven? I read a story about a preacher who returned to a former pastorate on a very special occasion. There at the door, he was met by a woman who proceeded to bring him up to date on all that had happened since he had been gone. She recited her own personal history and ended with these words, "Of course you know, Reverend, about my dear husband, Albert. Since you left, Albert died and went to heaven." The preacher remembered Albert as being one of those Christmas, Easter time Christians, so he was at a loss as for what to say. And so he blurted out to the woman, "Oh, so Albert died and went to heaven, did he? Well, I must say I am sorry." The look on the widow's face told him that she was not happy with his answer. So he tried again. "Well, I meant to say, I'm glad." The strange look was still there. So in one final heroic attempt, the preacher said, "What I really meant to say was, I'm surprised. I'm surprised." Well, there are surprises about heaven. In fact, I believe there are three, basically. Number one, some of you will be surprised to see some people that you didn't expect to see when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, some of you will be surprised not to see some whom you thought you would see. And then some of you might be surprised you made it yourself. Are you good enough for heaven? Let us consider the three emotions that are contained in the preacher's answer. First, there is sorrow. He said, "I'm sorry." Second, there is gladness. He said, "Well, I'm glad." And third, there is surprise. He said, "Well, I'm surprised." You see, some people react with sorrow to the words of Jesus in verse 17. Remember, Jesus said, "I am come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." These people are sorry because Jesus states plainly that He did not come to destroy the law, but to give meaning to the law. They are sorry because Jesus made it clear that there is nothing cheap about Christianity. True enough, salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Such people as these are those who are looking for a bargain basement faith. They are looking for a discount house religion. But I warn you now, mister, that you'll find no such kind in the Bible. The Bible speaks of sacrifice. The Bible speaks of shed blood. The Bible speaks of death for life. Jesus Christ died on the cross that you and I might live. So, the words of Jesus in verse 17, "I am come to give meaning to the law," makes a lot of people sorry. Then there are those who react with gladness to the words of Jesus in verse 19. For Jesus said, "Whosoever shall do these things shall be the greatest in the kingdom." They're glad because they want to believe in their own hearts that Christianity is simply abiding by rules and regulations. You know, the old standard rules: don't smoke, don't curse, don't dance, don't drink, don't murder, lie, cheat, all of the don'ts. And then on the other side of the ledger, the do's. Do go to church. Do say grace before meals. Do love your neighbor. Do pay your bills. And on the list goes, unending. But beloved, Christianity is not do's and don'ts. Christianity is a way of life. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These people say to themselves, since Christianity is abiding by the rules, all I have to do to go to heaven is to obey the rules and regulations. One day, they say to themselves, after I've had my fling and my fun, I'll settle down and I'll start obeying the rules and then I'll go to heaven. But beloved, these people will have a rude awakening when they recognize that Christianity is not do's and don'ts, but Christianity is coming to know Christ by a simple childlike faith in his redemptive work upon the cross. Then there are those people who react with surprise to the words of Jesus in verse 20. Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why would anybody be surprised at that statement? Here's why. The scribes and Pharisees were the most religious people on earth. The scribes and Pharisees thought, like many people think today, that righteousness is simply the proper observance of the law. The trouble with the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is that it was self-imposed. It was self-styled. It was self-designed. It was self-made. And consequently, it was polluted. Your righteousness today, that which you have good within yourself, is polluted. It is put this way in Isaiah 64:6, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. The trouble with self-righteousness is that it's not long enough, it's not wide enough, it's not high enough, it's not deep enough. And no religion is high enough, or wide enough, or long enough, or deep enough, unless it embraces the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross. You see, many people are religious, but they're lost. There's a good example in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the Ethiopian. There he was, on his way home from a religious conclave, on his way home reading the Bible, and yet he was lost. So Philip preached unto him Christ. And this man believed Christ, and this man was saved. He was already religious, but he was lost. Oh, what a tragedy to be religious and yet to be lost. You see, a lot of people who never smoke or drink or curse or commit adultery, or lie, or cheat, or steal, will miss heaven. The plain truth is this. The only ones who are good enough for heaven are those who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. Only those who are good enough for heaven are those who have been washed in Calvary's fountain. Only those that are good enough for heaven are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. This may surprise and shock some of you. Some people are too good to go to heaven. They're simply too good for heaven. On the other hand, some people are too bad to go to hell. Let me explain. There are a lot of people today in the world who think themselves so righteous, so pure, and so holy that they don't need the righteousness of Christ. They don't need the purity of God. They don't need the blood of the Lamb. They don't need to be born again. They don't need to be saved. They are already good enough. They are so good, they won't go to heaven. On the other hand, those who are so bad that they won't go to hell are those who realize that within themselves there is nothing really good. There is no righteousness that would merit the favor of God. Therefore, they come to the place in their lives that they are willing to say yes to Christ. They come to the place in their lives that they're willing to confess their sins and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. They trust Him. They believe on Him. They're saved. And consequently, they won't go to hell. They'll go to heaven. Paul was a good man, but he was not good enough for heaven until his conversion on the road to Damascus. The rich young ruler was a good man. Why, he admitted that he had never broken the laws, and yet he was not good enough for heaven until he was willing to forsake his way and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a rabbi. But Nicodemus was not good enough for heaven until he experienced the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And I say to you today, however good you are, however holy you are, however righteous you might think yourself, you must be born again. The Pharisees were good people. They abided by the law. They hurt no one. They were righteous and clean and moral and pure. And yet they were not good enough for heaven until they were willing to forsake their self-righteousness, strip themselves of their own righteous garb, their own righteous robe, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ in His righteousness. Yes, a lot of people today are too good to go to heaven, and a lot of people are so bad they won't go to hell, because they will come to the place that they will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you think the woman at the well was good enough for heaven? She had 5 husbands. The man she was living with was not her husband. Do you think the woman taken in adultery was good enough for heaven? She was taken in the very act of adultery. Do you think the thief on the cross was good enough for heaven? Yet Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you will drink the water that I give you, it will spring up in you a well of everlasting life." Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more." Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus did not say, "Maybe someday we'll meet somewhere." Jesus did not say, "Maybe someday you'll go to heaven after you've spent 100 years or so in purgatory." Jesus did not say, "If you'll go back and make restitution, you'll someday be in the glory world." Jesus simply said to him this, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus died to save sinners. Jesus called sinners to repentance, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let me ask you a very personal question. Do you think you are good enough for heaven? With all of your sin and selfishness, do you think you are good enough for heaven? The only way you can be good enough for heaven is to trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You can be good enough for heaven simply by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is but one way to heaven, and that's the way of the cross. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us." The poet said, "In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." You might not have enough money to buy a ticket to the next city, but Jesus has already purchased your ticket to heaven. You might not have enough education to recite the alphabet, but Jesus has the words of life. You might not have enough strength to bow by your radio, but Jesus carried the cross to the summit of Calvary, and there he died upon it for you. You might not have enough religion to name a saint, but Jesus is the only name you need to know. Call upon him now in faith. Trust him as your own personal Savior, and you too can be saved. All you need is the theology of the thief. All you need is the prayer of the publican, and you can be ready and good enough for heaven.